I just, I asked in the night, you know, if God would assign extra angels just to look over them, because they need all the looking over they can get. So that, and also for John, and John can't hear me, I'm not talking loud enough, and all the help with all the stuff that's troubling him right now.
Thank you, Bob. Anybody else? Out loud, or so let's just set our own intentions.
Let me just say, Jerry, about a year ago, I asked for prayers for my niece who needed a heart transplant.
Yes.
And by golly, a week ago, she got it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So let's remember her. Her name is?
Stephanie.
Stephanie. Old age hits again,
yes.
Doesn't it? Yes. So let's take all of our intentions, those we are conscious of and those we are not, personal, people, pets in our prayers, our country, our world. And know that we open ourselves to the possibility of holding all of those beings and all of those situations in the highest vibration possible. So that whenever we begin to feel or experience fear or anger or lack or separation around any one of those people, places, or things in our lives, that we wake up to the reality that we don't want to do that anymore. That I don't want to increase a lower vibration of thought or experience, and that I want to be able to raise that up as far as, I say, as far as I can, but we are not alone in this, and we're not talking about the personal me. We are talking about the essence of who we are. That I choose, whether I feel it or not, I choose to see the perfection in these people, places, and things. And when I find myself becoming wrapped up in anger or fear or separateness or any one of those other lower vibration thoughts or ideas or experiences, that I don't punish myself, I don't judge myself, I just stop for a moment, I take a breath. And I might need to ask the question, how can I see this differently? Or that I could see peace instead of this. Or my prayer might be very, very simply to the divine within me and with all beings. May I hold this person, this pet, this situation in the highest vibration possible. Thank you, God. Amen. Last week, one of the lessons that sort of made itself known that has been thematic, for me anyway, and I think it flows through this work, is what I refer to as the way Jesus responded to the energy of healing. That, you know, in grade school times, and maybe even in high school times, and maybe even later than that, you know, when Jesus healed the servant or raised the little girl from the dead or whatever, it was a magic trick. It was sort of like zap. And then I began to realize, and part of that has to do with the work we're doing here and other metaphysical teachings that I've come across in some way or another, that really what was going on was, and what still goes on, is that Jesus, who was aligned with the Christ consciousness and became more and more aligned with that as his physical life evolved here on planet Earth. But the healing miracles came about because he did not see imperfection. He did not see sickness. I don't see you as being separate. I see, because of my connection, my alignment with the truth of who I am, I see you as being perfect. I see you as being whole. And because of that, because the power that I am connected with that ratifies or affirms your wholeness, in some ways it almost overcomes your vision of your sickness or your illness. It overcomes that thought or that idea. Now, sometimes that didn't work. You might recall that when Jesus went back to Nazareth at one time, and he talked at the synagogue, and a lot of the people said, "Who the hell does he think he is?" I mean, they didn't really. The way it's translated in the Bible is, you know, who are you? Aren't you the son of Joseph and Mary? But basically behind the language was, who the hell do you think you are? Because, you know, we know you. We know the roots you came from. And what it said after that was he could work very few miracles there because of their lack of faith. Because they were not willing to see the wholeness in one another and in themselves. And so, you know, the quote miracles, the transformations that happened, could not take place unless the faith was there. I just had a vision of holding a little baby. Now, first of all, when you look in a baby's eyes, you know that they're seeing something that you're not seeing. They're kind of seeing infinity, because their crown chakra is still open, the fontanelles, the opening on the skull, that's still there, what I call sort of the divine umbilical cord. It's still very much intact. Now, they might not be conscious that they are living in oneness. They just are in oneness. But the vision that I had of looking in this little baby's eyes was, as you're holding this little child, they are seeing you the same way they are seeing themselves. As perfect. I don't see you as sick. I don't see you as old. Oh, here's my old grandmother holding me. Or my old grandpa. They don't see you as that. They see you as a being just like themselves, connected with the truth of who they are. And a lot of animals do the same thing with us. I know dogs do. Cats are kind of their own separate element, okay? Haven't quite figured them out yet. Maybe I'm not supposed to, okay? But I love their energy anyway, right? But, you know, I know from my experience with dogs is they are literally this little hairy package of unconditional love. You know, and if I had to take them to the vets and they had a really difficult time, they forget about that, you know, 15 minutes later. You know, you're still, heard a wonderful joke about that, you know, the dog says, you feed me, you groom me, you take care of me, you find me a place to sleep, you must be God. And the cat says, you feed me, you groom me, you find me a place to sleep, you make life comfortable for me. I must be God. So here we are. Want to give a few introductory things. If by any chance you don't have access to a computer to pick up the class, I used to call them class summaries, but they're more class reflections. Please let me know, and I can print out a copy for you. If you don't happen to be getting our email for some reason, if somehow you got off the list or didn't get on the list to begin with, when we pass the basket around, or I'll just do this right now, I'm just going to pass this pad of paper around, put down your name and your email if you're not getting it from us. Okay? And the other thing is that if you're new here or you know somebody who's new here, we've got a little brief summary that you can read over. Or if you know some people who might be interested in just in tuning into this or getting on the website, even if they don't want to physically show up here, you can pass one of these on to them and, you know, let them know what we're doing here. Because, you know, anybody's more than welcome to tap into that energy. And if you want to get on the website, you can pick up one of these cards as well. It's got the one of my email address and also the website address for getting on for this particular class, this particular gathering, and for other things that we're doing here too. So it's got summaries of other classes and other works we've done here as well. So all of that's available. Okay. Excuse me a second. I just need to put this back because it fell off a moment ago. There we go. Okay. So does anybody have any leftover stuff from your travels or your meditations or your internal or external struggles with yourself? I'll take that as a no or a maybe. I'm on page 152, which we've been on for the past couple of weeks.
I think I left 6 months ago and we were all
but who's counting, okay?
Yeah, right.
It takes a while to absorb this stuff.
I also became aware of something. You know, we've talked about this a number of times, that when we come to the physical time of this particular class being over, you know, let's say 10 minutes to 11 or 5 minutes to 11, and we close our eyes and we allow ourselves to realize sort of the sacred space that we've created. First of all, we've created that, not to deny that piece. But what the guides like to tell us is that what they are doing with us is that the words themselves and the writing itself carries with it a vibration. And so that if you can imagine sort of this, let's say this choir of angels that are on one side of the room or maybe all the way through the room who are kind of going, all the way through for the next 50 minutes or so. And they're kind of, pardon the pun here, but they're kind of setting the tone for the whole atmosphere. That's happening. That's also happening when we pick up this book as individuals. That there's not just, well, I guess I can only have one guide right now. There's one angel humming over in the corner there someplace, okay? You know, you can have as many as you want. You can have a room full if you want or need it. But that's always going on. So it's not just me sitting down with this book, becoming intellectually involved with some of this material, and either trying to figure it out, or maybe I'm doing just what I think I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be reading Paul Selig's book for a while. That's very nice. But all of those are intentions or vibrations that come primarily from my personality self rather than the divine or the Christ itself that's really doing the work here. As Paul said, it is not I who does the work, but the Christ within me that does the work. The consciousness, not to get off on the Jesus trip too much, right? But it's the consciousness of oneness. The consciousness of being in that reality that is where the work or where the miraculous comes from. What does it mean to be in your wisdom at this new vantage point we speak of? It means to be in allowance first and foremost, and we must express this to each of you who decides in advance that you need to know everything. To be an allowance, and as we have described earlier, to be in welcome, remember that one?
Yeah.
Long time ago, the guides told us, whenever you want us to be in your presence, all you have to do is say the word welcome. Aligns you to the possibility of the wisdom that would be imparted to you through you in your inherent knowing. To decide in advance what an answer is may preclude the real answer from coming forward. So again, we, for the sake of repeating something that we repeated any number of times before, is we are consciously opening ourselves up to the possibility that I am being led, that my vibration is being raised, whatever words you want to use for that, whatever energetic thing you feel like you need to be in alignment with. We are consciously opening ourselves up to that possibility. That's kind of, from my perspective, that's sort of as far as my human self can take me. My personality, my ego consciousness, it can open itself to be on a higher vibration, can create that higher vibration, can't necessarily even jump in the pool, but it can open itself up to that possibility. So on a conscious level, that's kind of what we're doing here. Just by walking in the door, I am opening myself up to the possibility of being aligned to a higher vibration, of seeing this differently, of seeing myself differently. What would be like of looking in the mirror and seeing beyond your physical self? If the eyes are truly the windows of the soul, looking in your eyes in a mirror, not the rest of you, which is usually a distraction, for me anyway, okay? But looking in your eyes, what do you see? Can you see the depth in that? Can you see the yearning in that? Can you see the desire to want to realize my wholeness? I used to say to want to be whole, but now it's looking in my eyes and realizing the desire to already see my wholeness. Get the difference there? It's not about seeing, not about becoming aware of my desire for my wholeness. It's about seeing my wholeness, or the desire to see my wholeness. Not the desire to be whole, you already are. Oh, I forgot. And also, when you pray, when you open yourself up to this possibility, try to let go of how you think that's going to show up. Oh, I think I'm going to see myself as a divine being today, and therefore I'm going to have a Thomas Merton experience when I walk out of the building, and I'm going to see everybody as beings of light. Well, that would be nice, but see, that's my ego that's in charge of the picture. My ego said, that would really be a cool thing, wouldn't it? And then I could write a book, right? I can make millions on that one, okay? I can really go to town. But guess what happened to me? Guess what I saw? And it might be something completely different from that. It might be stopping your car and giving $2 to somebody standing on the street. We did that a couple of weeks ago, and this older gentleman who took the $2 said, "You have the most beautiful smile." Of course, he was talking to Margo. I stopped for a minute and I said, "What a gift that is." He was thankful for the $2, but I've got something else to tell you. I've got something else to give. That's priceless. Ah. Oh. Here's how it's going to show up. Here's what it's going to look like. I don't know that, neither do you. Let go of that one, because when you let go of that one, then everything is possible. When you're holding on to the way you think it's going to manifest, that only that one thing is possible, and even if it happens, you're probably going to miss it. Because you're going to be looking over here and it's going to be happening over there. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. But don't get caught up in what you think that's going to look like. What are you asking for? I'm going to read through this and then we're going to do a little meditation around this. But I want to read through this with you, because what's going to happen is if I said, let's do a meditation right now, your mind's going to think about, well, what's next? That's the way my mind, your mind probably doesn't work that way, but that's the way mine work. Take a moment now and simply be still and ask yourself a question that you already know the answer to. I know my address is, or I think I remember my address. I know the day of the week that this is. And then take a moment and hear the answer come to you. Now take a pause and ask yourself a question that you do not know the answer to. I know the reason I am. I am willing to know the reason I am, dot, dot, dot. Perhaps if you wish to frame it as a question. But when you go into a question, you must align to the possibility that the answer that comes will not be the convenient one, the one that you had hoped for, the one your mother told you would be. So we offer you this. Ask yourself a question you do not know the answer to, and be still and know. Now, knowing, we say, is not grabbing. It is not asking, it is receiving. You may claim your knowing in reception by allowing and aligning to it. I am wisdom, as we told you, will align your vibration to the conscious knowing that may be available to you at any moment. If you can imagine right now that there is a field surrounding this plane that holds all the information you could ever require, and attending to this information was not more difficult than aligning to it, sort of like going to a library and pulling a book off shelf, you will begin to understand what we are teaching you. As you understand that there is a broadcast and you are the radio, you will begin to understand that the channels on the radio that you are may be refined to access information and your own wisdom at levels you have not encountered yet. It is available to you through acknowledgement and through welcome. So what I'm being asked to do is recognize that it's there. There is a library. There is an Akashic record that has all the information in the world that's ever been written down of anything anybody's ever experienced. And that's available to me. Well, maybe I don't want to go that far, because then I say, well, maybe I need to be a mystic to have that happen. Maybe I need to be this. Well, let's say anything that has occurred to you in your life, any realization that has occurred to you in life, and whether it's been conscious or unconscious, is available to you right now in this moment. I think I might have told you that when guided imagery first got started a number of years ago, a friend of mine and I were working in a treatment center. And we used to do this exercise about getting in contact with a wise person. We used to call it the wise person exercise. And we'd go through this whole thing about this guru on the mountaintop who can answer your questions. And we'd go on a kind of rather difficult journey to climb up the mountain. You'd finally get there, and you'd go into the cave, and then you'd see this person. And it might be Jesus, it might be Mary, it might be Buddha, it might be someone, you know, your Aunt Jane that, you know, was a very spiritual person. It could be anybody. But somebody would be there that you knew and trusted that you could talk to. And you'd ask them this question that was bugging you. And of course, for most people, it had to do with their own recovery process. You'd ask them this question, and they would give you an answer. And you would usually be very, very satisfied with the answer, even though it might be a little bit mysterious. And so what would happen would be everybody would come back down off the mountain, and we'd say, okay, now, what was your question? What was the answer? And then we'd say to them, well, how did you know? Who told you the answer? Oh, well, my Aunt Jane. I still know your Aunt Jane wasn't here. Buddha wasn't here, okay? Where'd the answer come from? And they'd stop for a minute and they'd look around, look at one another. You know, can I really say this out loud? It came from me. Oh. Now, it might not have been the answer you expected. It might not have been the most comfortable answer, but there it was. So I'm going to suggest you take a moment to close your eyes. You can put your stuff down for a minute. Take a couple of breaths. And because we have already acclimated to this space for a while, even though we might not have been totally conscious of it, we recognize that we have a body, but that's not who we are. We recognize that we have feelings and emotions, but that's not who we are either. We recognize we have a mind and we have an intellect and we have thoughts, but that's not who we are either. We're more than that. So that even though we've been here and been associated with our body and our mind and our emotions, there's been the realization that we are more than that. That our energy field, our area of perception or receptiveness goes beyond our physical bodies. In fact, there is sort of a commingling of spirits here where we touch one another and our unique perception of wisdom in ways that we would not ordinarily have the opportunity to do. And so you can just choose to be in that space for a while. You can choose to ask yourself a question if you would like. Be open to the answer. You can just simply choose to be in the energy of wisdom. Knowing that the next right thing is always available. That the truth of who you are is only a thought away, or not even a thought away. Or as the Course in Miracles call it, the journey without distance. Opening to the possibility of oneness, of truth. And then for a moment, in love and in grace and gratitude, just taking another deep breath, allow yourself to be embraced with that truth, that oneness, that awareness. And when you're ready to, you can open your eyes. This is from the Gospel of John. If you live your life in me, in other words, in the consciousness of Christ, oneness, love, if you live your life in me and my words live in your hearts, you can ask for whatever you like and it will come true for you. This is how my Father will be glorified, in your becoming fruitful and being my disciples. I have loved you as the Father has loved me. You must go on living in my love. I have told you this so that you can share my joy and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love each other as I have loved you. I shall not call you servants any longer, for a servant does not share his master's confidence. No, I call you friends now. It is not that you have chosen me, but it is I who have chosen you. It's not your personality self that has chosen me, because it can't. Your divine self has already chosen your divine self. You might look at that in the beginning stages as something coming in from outside of you. Oh, Christ chose me, or the consciousness of Christ chose me. But after a while, as you sit with that, just kind of let it be, you realize that the choice has come from your divine self to another divine self. I have chosen to participate in the energy of divine love. Now we will return to our initial subject of this day, which was the lifting of your own vibration to new perception, to what may be on the tree branch and visible from the mountaintop. And we would offer you this. The intention that you are setting now will work with you as you agree to it. And we underline agree. As we have said earlier, speaking words without a knowing or a belief or an acknowledgement of the truth in a statement will be words with no light. So we offer you this, and if we could say this together. On this day, I align myself to the next level of awareness that may be available to me in this incarnation. I set the intention that I am being attended to in this lifting so that I may see and perceive the information and the truth, the creations that are available to me at this level of sight. I agree to be supported in this alignment, and I offer myself to the guides who work with this text to support me in my own growth and well-being. I choose this of my own free will. As I lift my spirit, I lift my life. As I lift my life, all unfolds before me in perfect ways. I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. That's a beautiful prayer. You notice in that prayer, it's not asking for anything. It's opening ourselves to an awareness that is already there. That's what real prayer is. It's not asking for something. It's opening myself up to an awareness that is already there. So when I say, Lord, that I may see, that's one of my favorite prayers, by the way. See me, feel me, touch me, heal me. Guide me, love me. It's from Tommy. Familiar with that one? Mm-hmm. The rock opera by The Who. Great, just a passionate, marvelously passionate line. See me, feel me, touch me, heal me. God, just bam. So I'm not asking for anything here. I am opening myself up to what already exists. I couldn't want to see this differently unless I knew I could see this differently. Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. That's one that I'm still learning from. But I couldn't want to see this differently unless I know I already knew that I could see it differently. See, and sometimes what we do in the prayer of petition, we call it, you know, of asking for something, we sort of put it in the realm of impossibility. That only God can do this, and sort of the God we're talking about then is an energy out there someplace. You know, and maybe this will happen and maybe not, that I really have nothing to do with this. Here what we are doing is we are affirming the truth that we are already a part of. And we might be saying, as I say so often sometimes, my perception says, well, I'm not there yet. By the way, it will be saying that the day I die, okay? The moment I'm dying, well, I'm not there yet. So if I keep listening to it, right, it's probably going to convince me that it's true.
That's the ego as well, right?
Sure it is. Yeah. And again, it's not bad, it's just limited.
Right.
Okay? But I need to realize that's my perception talking. And my perception by its very nature is always going to be somewhat limited. So what I'm asking for is here, let my wisdom that I already know I am in touch with, let my wisdom bypass my perception. Not ignore it, not pretend it's not there, not destroy it, not wipe it out, not erase it, right? But let it not get caught up in limitation. So when I open myself up to that, I realize that this truth is being revealed to me in a way that my mind or my emotions could not do. Let me just read this again out loud to all of you. On this day, I align myself to the next level of awareness that may be available to me in this incarnation. I set the intention that I am being attended to in this lifting. So I'm not, in other words, I'm not doing this alone. I set my intention to know that I am not doing this alone, so that I may see and perceive the information and the truth, the creations that are available to me at this level of sight. I agree to be supported in this alignment, and I offer myself to the guides who work with this text to support me in my own growth and well-being. I choose this of my own free will. As I lift my spirit, I lift my life. As I lift my life, all unfolds before me in perfect ways. I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. Just take in the beauty of that. My last couple of years at St. X, I taught religion rather than biology. And we had written our own textbooks, if I can call it that. And they were all about... They're all about learning how to live life. not even morally, we didn't even use that word, but to live life with a sense of balance, with a sense of lovingness, with a sense of self-care, with a sense of compassion. And one of the things we did was we had a whole series of classes on sophomore year was all about relationships. So it was divided into four sections. It was relationship with your parents, authority figures in your life, relationship with your peers, relationship with God, and relationship with yourself. And I remember one of the things we did was we did a series of trust exercises. And so I remember one very distinctly is the desk at St. X, for the teacher's desk, were about this high, so we're kind of sitting in one of these higher chairs, you know, so you always had, you could kind of look down on your students, all right? That was, it was a little psychological ploy there, I'm sure, all right? Well, what I did was I would stand on top of this desk and I would turn my back, and the class of sophomores was behind me, and I said, now what I expect you guys to catch me. And I remember one kid said, all two of us? But it was absolutely amazing. First of all, I did it. It's kind of the model of behavior for it, and I always got caught. And then I would ask for volunteers. Of course, they were doing this in their own group of peers, okay? And eventually someone would volunteer, and once he got caught and there was a big smile on his face, then there was kind of a line of people wanting to try that because they knew it was going to feel good. But what I was thinking of is what the guides were saying here. I set the intention that I am being attended to in this lifting so that I may see and perceive the information and the truth, the creations that are available to me at this level of sight. So I am trusting that I am being guided here. That I am being held, that I am being held up, that my vibration is being affirmed and strengthened, and that as this choir, this chorus, or whatever it might happen to be, is sort of creating this sacred space in the background, that this is not my personality self that's walking up a ladder and saying, I'm on the first step, I'm on. See, look at me, I'm on the second step. All right. It's more about me on a personality or an egotistical level of letting go and letting myself be caught and raised up. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know where that's going to take me. I don't know how that's going to change or transform my vision of the world or my vision of how I fit into the world. But I realize that it's going to do something. Might not be sure what, but it's going to do something. I realize in looking back over, let's say, the past couple of months or past 6 months or so, that I imagine this is true for you too, that, you know, some things have shifted, some things have changed. Now, it doesn't always feel good, because one of the things that happens is when I set my intention on healing, then all of the stuff that needs healing comes up. I remember one of my teachers told me that. It really was rather disappointing. She said, when you pray to be in the light, all of the stuff that's keeping you from the light comes right up in your face. I said, well, that's not what I asked. You know, that's not what I bargained for. And she said, all that's doing is following the natural law that it has to follow, that it has to be, you have to let go of it and process it before you can experience what it's like on the other side. How did the Course put it? God cannot heal what you are not willing to let go of. well, I can't be willing to let go of it unless I know that it's there. So I don't know about you, but a lot of times stuff will go, oh, there's that one. Had that one when I was 8. Okay? Thought I was done with that one. There it is again. Got a, you know, a little bit of a different suit of clothes on. Okay? It's still sucking on a lollipop. All right? Still doing the same thing. Oh, there it is. It might not be as powerful or as energetic. So I don't, I don't need to get overwhelmed by a feeling or by emotion of guilt or fear or shame or whatever might happen. It's, oh, there it is. My tool right now is, how can I see that differently? So I look at my guilt, for instance. Not that you might have any of this, it's just my example. You look at your guilt, my guilt, for example. I look at, and I go, wow, you know. That really, I held on to that as a kid because somehow or another I thought that was going to help me change my behavior. If I feel guilty enough about this, then I'm never going to do it again. Haha. You know, that's the thought. Okay? That's the unreality that's attached to holding on to guilt. And it's such a powerful, powerful message that it doesn't seem to go away right away. So it might show up again, even as an adult, and say, oh, there that is. So I don't beat myself up for having that, of saying, what the real intent of my holding on to guilt is that I can change my behavior. Or that I can avoid this negative behavior that I've gotten into. How? So what my understanding is, what my prayer is, then how can I do that differently? Because guilt doesn't work. So I'm not rejecting it or throwing it away, but I'm not getting all wrapped up in it because it's kind of a tar baby, it's a spider web. I'm not getting all wrapped up in it again. I'm just saying, okay, here's a form of energy that I've created for myself that I wanted to work in a certain way that doesn't work anymore, never worked at all. So let me open myself up to something that does work that allows me to transform my behavior in a positive way. I might not know exactly what that is, but I know I can do something with that. So you notice a whole shift in consciousness that takes place here. I'm not rejecting anything. I'm not throwing it away. I'm not even making it wrong or bad. I'm just saying, you know, I discovered, I thought that was going to work. It seemed like it should work, but it doesn't. It didn't. So let me open myself up to something that does work for me. Ah, that makes a difference. It looks like you've just wasted another 50 minutes of your life. You ever think of car talk? You ever listen to car talk on NPR? Why, well, you just wasted another 45 minutes.
Yeah,
no,
I'm not on a different page.
Yes, we are. Only kidding about that. So let's just take a moment before we go. To be open to the possibility of knowing the truth of who I am. I don't have to take it any further than that. I open myself up to the possibility of knowing the truth of who I am. And I thank the consciousness of the Christ for revealing itself to me this morning. I thank the guides for creating the energetic field, or helping to create the energetic field that we have all participated in, and that we take with us in either a conscious or an unconscious level of our being. I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve. I am here, I am here, I am here. I am free, I am free, I am free. Thank you all. We'll see you next week. Okay.
The chairs.
Oh yeah, keep the center chairs here, but the people are on the sides. If you wouldn't mind bringing them up to the front.
Okay. Good week.